Does God care? That's a question asked at many times and in many ways. Sometimes it's asked in a sort of a snarky way, not really wanting an answer, but often it's asked in a very real way, from a place of deep hurt or sadness. Some of us may be asking that today. Does God care? Today is Father's Day. Some of us may have lost our fathers and never had our fathers with us. Others may have had fathers that failed us or hurt us or were never there for us. Some of us may be sad just that we won't get to give our father a big hug today due to lockdown. A Father's Day for some of us will trigger other sadnesses for those of us who are fathers but it's been difficult, those of us who wish we could be fathers. Sometimes when those sorts of hurts come upon us, we might well ask, does God care? And for many of us, with all that's going on in the world and in our own country, with how upside down things seem to be at the moment, we might ask, does God care? Does he understand what this feels like? Does he care how we feel? And does he care about the situation we're in? Well, our passage in Luke's Gospel today, chapter 11, verses 11 to 17, it answers these questions. It answers the question, does God care? Now, I know that's a big claim, but I think it's true. So will you spend a few minutes looking with me, with a mind open, to see whether God really does care? The events that this passage records took place in what is now the northern part of Israel, very likely just a few kilometres southeast of Jesus' hometown, Nazareth. It happened at a town called Nain. There's still a town there by that name today. And these events show some very important things in them. We see the heart of Jesus. We see the help of Jesus. And we see the heart and help of God. So let's jump into that. First of all, the heart of Jesus. In verse 12, we're told that Jesus and the crowd with him come across another crowd. But the second crowd was much more somber. It was a funeral procession. And in this procession was a dead person being carried out to be buried. In verse 14, Jesus calls him young man, which was a term usually used of males between late teens and mid to late 20s. So the dead man was probably in that age range. And with him, verse 12, was his mother. He was her only son, and she was a widow. It would seem that she'd now lost all of her immediate family, and she was, of course, full of grief. And look at verse 13 with me. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. Here we see the heart of Jesus, his compassion. He saw and understood her pain. The word in the original language is splagchnizomai. It kind of sounds like what it is. It comes from a word meaning guts, splagchnizomai. So this is Jesus feeling in his guts for this woman, deep, stomach-churning compassion. And his care throughout this passage is for this woman, this mother. Indeed, he expresses more concern for the mother's pain than for the dead son. And he says to her, don't cry. Don't cry. And you might ask, why not? Of course she's crying. She's a widow who's lost her son. But you say, don't cry like this, when you don't want to see that person crying because you don't want to see them experiencing this pain. Like when I see one of my precious children cry, I might say to them, don't cry, sweet, and wipe their tears away, because tears should not be on the cheeks of my precious child. Well, Jesus' words are something like that. And you can see that because of the extraordinary lengths he goes in order to take those tears away, which we'll come back to in a moment. But just notice one more expression of the heart of Jesus here. After he's done this extraordinary thing, bringing this young man back to life, what does he do? Well, the end of verse 15. Jesus gave him back to his mother. He put the young man back in his mother's arms, returning the one that she'd lost to her. Such compassion. That is the heart of Jesus. But it's not just his heart that we see in this passage. It's also the help of Jesus. The help of Jesus. See, Jesus shows more than compassion here. Not less, but more. He shows not only compassion, but the ability to help, to do something about it. I wonder if you noticed there in verse 13, whose heart does it say went out to the woman? The Lord. The Lord saw her and his heart went out to her. See, he was the Lord, the one in charge who could do something, who could and would help. In the ancient world, the great thinkers often tried to console people by reminding them that mourning will do no good. That was their strategy a lot of the time. It's reflected in Homer's famous epic poem, The Iliad, which is about the Battle of Troy. And that's the movie Troy is loosely based upon the Iliad. In the Iliad, a grieving parent is told this: lamenting for your son will do you no good at all. You will be dead yourself before you bring him back to life. Not the most sensitive way to console someone, probably. Not a pastoral strategy I'm looking at taking up. But the point was this. That was the best they had. Because they couldn't do anything about death. So you just have to move on, as we'd say today. That's what they're saying. You just got to move on. But at that point, Jesus was completely different. Verse 14. He went up and he touched the bier, the plank or the coffin with the body. He went up and he touched it. And then he spoke to the young dead man. Young man, I say to you, get up. Very simple. Just a few words. And verse 15. The dead man sat up and began to talk, alive again, just at the word of Jesus. Now, by the way, the lad talking there, it's a strange detail, isn't it? Luke doesn't do anything with it. He doesn't sort of make anything of it. He doesn't tell us what the young man said or anything like that. But it's probably the sort of strange, striking detail that an eyewitness would remember. That this young man on the way to his funeral sat up and started talking after Jesus told him to get up. This is probably a little bit of incidental evidence that this story was handed down by an eyewitness who was there at the time. Now, this whole scene makes a striking contrast with the Elijah story we heard in our first reading today from 1 Kings. In a number of ways, the stories are quite similar, I know. In each one, a person comes back from the dead, a resuscitation. And stories about resuscitations like that are actually quite rare in the Bible, and are very rare in the ancient world generally, especially before Jesus' time. So obviously, that makes these two stories quite similar. But did you notice with Elijah, what a rigmarole it was to bring the boy back to life? It was still extraordinary, but he had to stretch out on him 3 times and do all of that stuff. And did you notice also how Elijah cried out to God, pleading with him? Whereas Jesus simply says, get up. Literally, it's be raised. And that's it. All this, of course, would have been comically tragic and incredibly awkward if it didn't work. But it did work. The boy was raised at a word. That is the power of Jesus. And that's why he could help. And so, we come to our final point, the heart and help of God. Verses 16 and 17 show the results of Jesus raising this young man. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. The news about what Jesus had done went viral. And Luke records two things which seem to be the main impressions people had. First of all, verse 16, that a great prophet had come. Perhaps people made that connection with Elijah and saw that Jesus must be a great prophet like him. But the other reaction Luke records, also in verse 16, is even more significant. At the end of the verse there, God has come to help his people. Literally, it's God has visited his people, which is a term used in the Old Testament when God showed his care by coming and helping his people. And that's what the crowd saw here. But even more, it seems there's just a hint that this is even bigger than the other times God had come to help his people. With the way Jesus simply spoke and it happened. And the way that in Jesus they were seeing the coming of the promises of God. Promises that God had made that he would come and be with his people in a new way and defeat the things that oppressed his people. Things like death. God had arrived now in a new way in the person of Jesus. So as we look at what Jesus is doing here, we see what God is doing. When we look at Jesus, we see God. And when we look into the heart of Jesus in this passage, we see the heart of God. We see a God who has compassion, whose heart goes out to a widow who has lost her son. He's not far off and distant. No, he feels it in his guts. He understands the pain. Does God care? Well, that's an understandable question in a world that seems so random and uncertain and confused and unpredictable. But when we look at Jesus, we see that God does care. He is not far from us. He understands the pain of life, and particularly from this passage, he understands the pain of death. He understands what it is to face death. Jesus went through death himself. But also, he understands what it's like for those of us who've lost someone, as Jesus saw and had compassion here on this woman. And as God the Father felt it when he saw his son, the same Jesus, die on the cross for us. He understands what that's like. He cares. See Jesus' compassion. See God's heart. But also, see the help of God. Look at the power of Jesus and see the power of God. A God who can overcome death at a word. Now, that might raise an obvious question for some of us. Why didn't he do that for me? For the person I lost who was dear to me? And that is such a hard question. And nothing negates that pain. Some of you may be particularly feeling it at the moment in different ways. And in short, honestly, in this broken and fallen world, I don't know why Jesus doesn't do this at any particular point in history or for any particular one of us. And I am so sorry for your pain. But I do know this. What Jesus did for that mother and widow back then was not just an act of compassion for her. It was that, but it was more. It was also an act of compassion for us, Because in that act recorded for us, we see Jesus' compassion, his heart, connected to his power over death. And that power came to fulfillment when he struck death with the most powerful blow, when he rose from the dead, when Jesus himself overcame death. And that means that we have hope, because his resurrection leads to our resurrection if we trust in him. And a time is coming when death will no longer have the last say. A time is coming when God will wipe away not only the tears of that mother and that widow, but the tears of every person in his kingdom. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Why? Because of Jesus' resurrection. So when we face death, or the threat of death, or the pain that death causes to those left behind, we can know that Jesus is our powerful, compassionate Lord. We can know him as our powerful, compassionate Lord, and therefore we can have real hope. And when we're feeling uncertain about the times, as many of us do at the moment, when there's fear in the air, let's not seek our certainty by spending way too much time going down different rabbit holes on the internet, or overdosing on social media and caustic conversations, or watching sensationalized news from one angle or the other. I know there's a real temptation to that, I feel it myself. But the way those things usually work is by tapping into our uncertainties and our fears and promising to give us insider information to ease those things. But in the end, they tend to give false certainties and feed greater uncertainty. The reality is, this world is uncertain, and our existence is beset with uncertainties. It always has been. And yet, Jesus is risen, and he is Lord, and he has come to help his people. And he will continue to care for his people until the time when we share his victory over death and he wipes away every tear. He is where our certainty is to be found in uncertain times. So, whether we're facing uncertainty or feeling the pinch of the fear of death or feeling the pain of losing someone, look at Jesus. See the heart of God. See the help of God. May the Lord help us to see. Amen.